Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Tuesday, February 24th, 2015. It's February 24th already. This year is just going by so fast. It's just so fast. Anyway, today we're going to talk about beds and mattresses in particular and how you can make your own. Now, I know that seems like maybe an impossible idea, but mattresses are such, they're so important because we spend a third of our lives lying on a mattress. And if you have a toxic mattress, you're going to be exposed to all those toxic chemicals while you sleep every night, and they can really affect your health. And so many, many people have been realizing how toxic regular mattresses are and looking for natural mattresses. And so when I first was starting looking for a natural mattress 30 years ago, there was no such thing. There were futons, very thin little futons. And I managed to find a used mattress that was made out of not all the toxic things, but not natural either. It was in the back of a mattress store. It was somebody had brought it in as a trade, and I said, I'll take that one. But, you know, I'll tell you, when I first started considering that I needed to get rid of my toxic mattress, the first thing I slept on was I went and got a rollaway bed that had like a little cot that has springs on it. And then I piled up cotton thermal blankets on top to make it a little softer. And I rolled up a cotton towel and put it in a pillowcase. And that was my pillow because I was not going to sleep on my toxic mattress anymore. And I couldn't just go down to the store like you can today and buy a non-toxic mattress or a natural mattress. So what we're going to talk about today, though, is the fact that you can make your own mattress and how you can do that and where you can get materials. Because even I know that some people are very sensitive to various different materials, and it's difficult even to get a natural mattress that some people can tolerate. And so there's no reason why you can't make your own mattress, why you can't choose the materials that you want and either put it together yourself or have somebody make it for you. And so this is like gives you the greatest freedom of choice in terms of having a mattress. You get complete control over it. So my guest today is Deborah Branton. She's the owner of DIY Natural Bedding. And we're going to find out how she came to come up with such an idea as making your own mattress and having a business around it. And she's going to tell us all about it. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
I should call you Deborah to distinguish you from me, who is Deborah.
Yes, and you know my middle name is Lynn as well.
So really?
I grew up as a DLD as well. My maiden name was a D, so I resonate with those initials.
And I have a friend, a man who's a friend, and he's his initials are DD also.
Oh, sure.
So when we initial things back and forth to each other, like in emails, it's always DD and DD. So anyway, good. So how did you get interested in the idea of making your own natural bed?
Well, sure. Well, we started with our family and our kids. We had two young daughters at the time. And we said, well, we get a chance to buy a new mattress. We want to move them up into a bunk bed. And mattress buying purchases don't come around all that often. So let's do this right. And we didn't know what right meant at the time. So we started researching and started looking around and looking at why people chose organic mattresses, because they didn't want to have some of the flame retardants that companies put in conventional mattresses.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we were looking at organic mattresses, we realized they were completely out of our price range. As most young families starting out, it's difficult to make the choices you really want. So we said, well, I can make anything in the kitchen. Surely I can try my hand in other areas of our home. So we said,
yeah,
well, let's make our own. And we found some, at the time, there were available cotton futon cases and some wool batting and some natural latex. And we put that together, and it was very easy to put together. Just dip everything in there. And we said, you know, this idea is really good. Maybe other people need this idea, because we can't be the only people out there who want to make these natural choices but can't afford. afford it? What if we could enable people to have these natural choices, but at, you know, wholesale rates or upholstery rates, somewhere where, you know, it's the do-it-yourself saves them the dime or two?
Right. So I think it's just wonderful that you've done this. So how did you start? Like, I'm always interested in the aspect of you're doing something unusual as a business. How do you get going doing that? Because I'm hoping that other people will take the initiative to start businesses that fill in the gaps of things that are needed and not yet on the market.
Mm-hmm. Well, we started very small. We had just refinanced our house, so we started with the one mortgage payment that we didn't have to pay, and that funded the first purchase of 6 inches of natural latex. And then we work out of our home to invite people to know us, to trust us, to suggest to them that we trust them to make their decisions as well. And part of that model has also enabled us to keep prices down and to keep our costs down by working in our space that we dedicate it to things that we show. So lots of phone calls, lots of reading online. If you've ever been on the Mattress Underground, I highly recommend that site for research.
Oh, no, I actually haven't been on that site.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a forum that's run, but the leader of the forum is pretty knowledgeable, and it's a good place to start.
Good. I'll check that out. So you've done a lot of research. Tell us about some of the toxic things. I know I just spoke in general at the beginning, but what are some of the toxic chemicals that people should really, why should they, if they haven't already decided that they need a natural mattress, why should they be using a natural mattress?
Okay, so with this question, we get to start with the burn test, right?
Yes.
The story goes, and interrupt me if this gets too long, but the story goes that back in the 70s, everyone was lighting up lots of cigarettes in the house, in the bed, mattress fires were increasing. The government said, there's too many cigarettes. You guys, you fire alliance, you big cigarette, need to make your cigarette safe so that people don't keep burning themselves down. Well, they said, well, let's do something else. And all the big tobacco companies got together and formed an alliance and lobbied for burn tests so that now all upholstery and furniture and bedding are required to pass a flame test, two tests, a cigarette test where they put a cigarette under a sheet and see how fast your product burns, and another test, the burn test, where there's an open torch on the top and the sides of the mattress and they see how fast it burns, how quickly the flame extinguishes, how much smoke is produced, things like that. So because of those laws that were in place long ago, companies put things on their mattresses, be it, you know, directly spraying the mattresses with chemicals, or being used a barrier fabric that is, you know, made of synthetics, to mm-hmm. pass the burn test. So when we say you can buy everything in parts that have not been treated with any chemicals, what we mean is that we are selling you a part of a mattress. We're not selling you a whole mattress. We are selling you just part of it. If you choose to assemble it that way, great.
Mm-hmm.
But that does mean that we don't put any of the bromines in. We don't put any chlorinated Tris. We don't put any DECA PDE. We don't put in Firemaster 550, no boric acid. We don't put in any of the bromines. The list keeps going because a lot of these flame retardants that are put into upholstery and bedding are proprietary, so we can't really know all of them.
Yes. Yes. It's just brilliant that you're doing it that way. We need to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about natural mattresses and unnatural things that are in them, in regular mattresses, not the natural mattresses. And this is so interesting. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Deborah Brenton, She's the owner of DIY Natural Bedding, and the website is DIYNaturalBedding.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Food Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Deborah Benton, owner of DIY Natural Bedding. That's at DIYNaturalBedding.com. So, Deborah, if somebody is considering making their own bed, what should they consider as to whether or not they could do it or not? What are the kinds of skills you need to have? And let's start with that question.
Sure. Well, you'd be surprised at how simple it is. You need to make a few choices, and then you need to zip them all together. So the first choice you make is what you want to put it in. We call the cases ticking, and you unzip them, and you can have ones with wool in it. You can have ones with a puddle pad on top. You can have just organic, Scott's organic cotton one.
You're not just selling. I went to your website, but I guess I missed this point. You're not selling fabric to make a mattress. You're selling the case.
We are selling both. If you want to sew your own case, we have the pattern available. We have the zipper. I mean, where can you find 300 inches of zipper in one piece? We sell all our mattress quality fabrics by the yard. So that you can make your own. If those are your skills, go for it. If you want us to sew it, we will sew it. We won't assemble it, but we will sew that for you. And then we sell the natural latex slabs, and we get all our wool from local farms around us where I can ask the farmers questions about how they treat their animals and what they feed them and where they graze and how they treat them when they have illnesses. So we like to support the local food movement that way, as well as give our customers quality wool. So
and so then you sell them all the materials. So the very simplest thing to do would be to buy the case and buy the stuffing and have it arrive at your doorstep, and then you can stuff it with whatever it is you want.
Right.
Just stuff it yourself, and that's it.
Yep. Put the ticking on your mattress, lay your latex slabs on top of it, and zip it shut, and you have just made a mattress.
Wow. That's so easy.
Yeah, zippers are great.
I didn't realize when I looked at your website, I was thinking, okay, so here's the fabric and here's the zipper, and you can sew it up, and you probably provide the thread too, and because it needs a special kind of thread, and then you would do all that work. But no, you just zip it up.
Well, you can. Some people have those skills, but not everyone does.
So not everybody does.
We'll just enable the DIY to the extent to do it.
Like, I wouldn't want to sew. I mean, I can sew rudimentarily. Mm-hmm. Rudimentarily. I can't say that word. But, wow, that is extremely appealing to me. If I didn't already have a wonderful mattress that I love, I would immediately order from you because that's so easy and so affordable.
Yeah, and our wool mattress is kind of neat. I shouldn't say our wool mattress. We sell wool batting as well as what we call wool flake. So before the wool is aligned into the nice sheets that carded batting is, it's in these kind of fluff. And you can make a wool mattress by taking one of the tickings and some of the batting on the bottom, throw in the wool flake in the middle because that's a less expensive process. It's not as you know, it hasn't been combed yet, and then top it off with another smooth wool batting and zip that shut. And then you've pretty much made your own wool mattress. Then you'd have to tuft it. But there's more than one way to use the supplies.
Well, good. So this is, why don't you go over what the different materials are? Because I was really, we're going to need to go to break, but you can get started with this question. I was really impressed at how careful you were about choosing your materials. I'm aware of a lot of different mattress makers, and some of them are more or less stringent about the materials that they choose to make their mattresses, even if they're natural. And but you have very, very excellent materials. And of course, somebody could also buy your case and put whatever materials they want to buy from someplace else in them as well. Like if they have their own local wool that they want to use.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very, you buy whatever pieces you want and then you do whatever you want with them, which is just so amazing to me. So tell us, so you have like three basic things. Start by telling us more about your wool, because you don't sell cotton, but you sell wool.
You're right. We chose wool to sell over cotton because it's so resilient. Cotton bends, can only bend so many times before it breaks. It gets very firm. Wool is an interesting fiber. Microscopically, it's a hollow fiber, and it's spiral shape. And its hollow shape is interesting because that's where its wicking moisture comes in. It can absorb your body heat, your body moisture while you sleep, and then as you roll over, it now can let it dissipate into the air. And if you sleep under the wool, like it as in a comforter, or you were wearing a wool jacket, that hollow fiber can keep your heat next to you, thus providing your insulation. Its spiral shape is really interesting because that makes it very flexible. So as you compress it, when you sit on it or lie on it, it doesn't just bend, causing a break in the fiber eventually. It just stretches, and it can do that for a long, long time. So, you know, grandmother's wool mattress can still be refluffed and reused because wool is so strong.
That's been my experience. When I first started sleeping on natural beds, there actually were not wool beds. Nobody was doing wool beds.
Mm-hmm.
And I started with a pretty thick cotton futon on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And it was the most uncomfortable thing I've ever slept on in my life. It was a cotton futon on a wood floor. And I think they're designed to put on tatami mats or something, I think, in Japan, which are not as hard as wood. And so here you have this Japanese technology coming over here to America, and I put it on a wood floor, and it was horrible, very uncomfortable. And then when the first wool beds came out, I got a wool mattress that was very thick and like 10 inches thick, and it was comfortable, but I couldn't lift it. And now I have layers of wool mattresses on a wood slat bed, and that seems to be the best thing to do with wool. We need to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the materials that are available to make mattresses from, and you can make your own mattress. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And my guest today is Deborah Benton from DIY Natural Bedding. That's DIYNaturalBedding.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And my guest today is Deborah Benton, owner of DIY Natural Bedding. That's at DIYNaturalBedding.com. Deborah, I want us to keep talking about wool, and especially you talk about the difference between farm wool and organic wool, and I'd like you to talk about that because you say some very important things on your website about this. And by the way, listeners, she's got a lot of information on her website about the materials, far more than we can cover talking about it today. But Deborah, tell us about farm wool.
Sure. Well, let's see. Farm wool. When I pick my wool, I go around to farms in my area, and I talk to the farmers, and I say, I ask them, what nutrition do you give your sheep? Are they allowed outside in the sun? How are they treated when they're sheared? Am I going to be finding, you know, an excess ear in my wool because the shear was too quick when shearing it? Do you sell the merino wool, and that means that that I should be on the lookout for mule slaying? You know, really, I just want wool that the farmer cares about the animal, and so he gives them natural food, grasses, hays, when they need deworming. Do they give them diatomaceous earth instead of, popping some other pill? Do they, what goes into the sheep affects what comes out of the sheep? And the wool, the quality of the wool is affected by that. And we get our wool from all sorts of different sheep, and they're all nice. wool. These farmers do not grow short hair, coarse wool crops. They grow wool that is nice enough to be spun into yarn. The wool is soft. The fibers are long. There's a variety of colors. There's white and brown and black and gray. And it feels good, and it also has that satisfaction of knowing that, you know, this animal was cared for, maybe not quite like a pet, but yet it was still very thoughtfully cared for and not just raised for money.
You know, the thing that I so love about this is that is your personal connection with it, and that so often, like on your website, you talk about that organic certification is useful when I can't certify the farmer myself.
Yes.
And I think that I wish you would just put that sentence in bold and have flashing lights all around it, because I think that that's so important, that the difference between you being there, actually going to the farm, meeting the people who are growing the wool, seeing the sheep, the difference between that and looking inside. I'm not saying that certification is bad, but this is like just a different level. It's a different level of knowing that you went yourself and looked, and that you didn't rely on a piece of paper that's certified. And I'm not saying that the certifications are a bad thing. They're very useful for knowing that a product meets a certain standard, but it's just, there's something different about you going and checking it out. And it's like, I read all this on your website, and I see, and I listen to you talking to me today, and I see that you've done your homework. You know what you're talking about. You know what questions to ask, and that you going and checking out the farmer is just as good as if that farmer had an organic certification, if not better. That the questions have been asked, the farmers are doing the right thing, and you're right there with your own eyes seeing that they're doing the right thing. And that all comes across to me. My wool is actually from a similar situation where I bought my bed from Shepherd's Dream in California, and I've known Shepherd's Dream for more than 20 years, from when they were first selling futon patterns like you. And that's how they started. And when they started their organic wool certification, I actually went with them, and they talked to the farmers, and I sat with them and made their organic certification in terms of what they thought that it should be. And so I know exactly where the wool comes from in my bed. And it's actually so nice for me every night to be thinking about those sheep, and I know how they were cared for, and I know where they're from, and it's just a lovely thing. It's just a lovely thing to have that level of knowing what your ingredients are.
Yeah, and in fact, the mill that provides them with all their wool, provides much of the U.S. with their wool, but they also provide our puddle pads. So you've
Good.
Seen the sheep that some
yeah.
of those have come from.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a lovely way to make a product. It's a lovely way to do business. So I'm going to look at the clock for a second. Okay, so tell us about latex. Tell us about latex in general and your latex.
Okay, so we work with natural latex. That means that it is a foam made from rubber or from latex. Latex is you see it everywhere. You go outside and you pick a dandelion and you see the white sap and you see latex and you see lettuce and you break it open and you see latex and milkweed. It's just that those small plants are not generally commercially viable. They're a very small amount of latex. So the latex for rubber today is grown in the jungles, and where there's a particular tree, the Hevea basilicana, it's just a tall, what you've now become known as the rubber tree. And there are ways to make synthetic rubber out of petroleum, and that's not the type of latex we provide, because we prefer to stick as natural as we can. So the foam that's made from these rubber trees that we use ends up being 96% rubber and then 4% foaming agents. And for a man-made product, I think that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So natural latex, we have it in 5 different densities. That means you can pick your firmness, or you can combine firmnesses to create sort of a pillow top layer or something firmer, or you can put a soft layer underneath a firm layer to create a more contemporary spring-like feel. But the 5 densities really give you a lot to work with. It lets you choose your height. It lets you choose how you feel. And natural latex is kind of neat, too, the way it absorbs your pressure points. So you lie on the mattress, and your pressure points are where the deepest parts of your body sink into. They create the most pressure. And because of the compression modulus, the latex actually compresses underneath you to some extent. It doesn't spread out like if you were lying on a waterbed. The water would just go to your edges. But here it actually creates a support underneath you. And so it's able to move completely out of the way where it needs to, and then just keep its fast response time up for the areas that don't need to be pressured.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's latex, it's not like a memory foam. So we call it a fast response foam. So you roll over, and the latex is ready to support you in a new spot. You don't have to crawl out of a valley that you've made because it's not a heat-sensitive foam. It doesn't hold your heat and harbor it like a memory foam mattress would. So it's a very different sort of foam.
Yeah. Good. So there's also, explain about the difference between Talalay and Dunlop.
Okay, so there's 2 processes you could say there's 1 process and a variation of it. The Dunlop process is
I'm sorry. I have to go to break.
Sure.
Really quickly, I think. I get to talking. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we will be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today my guest is Deborah Benton, owner of DIY Natural Bedding, and that's DIYNaturalBedding.com. Before the break, we were talking about latex, and I just, Deborah, I'd like you to tell us about the difference between organic latex and natural latex.
Oh, okay. The differences are very few. The differences are a label, pretty much. The formula seems to be the same with the manufacturers. The product is the same. The plants are similar. The difference would be that you have someone certifying that the company has been a responsible company in the way that they produce it, that their water outflow has been reasonable, that they have treated their workers reasonably, that they have been paid fair wages and not required to work too much. From what I hear, it's likened to any papers. You know, a dog of a true pure breed has papers. Mm-hmm. It's financially worth more money than the same dog without papers.
Mm-hmm.
It produces primarily the same product, and so we choose to go with natural latex because if the product is still 96% rubber, I mean, you can't get any less rubber than that, any more rubber than that, and create a foam. It still has to be light and airy. Then why not choose what is just plain old natural? Why require an extra process that will take up more financial commitment on the company? And why not just give people what is readily available that is good enough?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Good. That's a very good answer. So then the other key part of what you offer in terms of materials is the fabrics. Now, you're selling GOTS certified organic fabrics. And so tell us why you made that choice and what that is.
Sure. So there are a few different standards out there for organic fabrics, organic textiles. And most of them just require that the majority of the cotton used in the product have been grown organically. So 51% of the cotton could be grown organically. Well, the GOTS standard takes it way above that. Now it says that not only the growing procedures have to be organic, the warehouse has to be certified organic. The processes used on the fabric, the dyes, the finishing, the weaving, everything has to be certified. And when India produces 60% of the world's cotton, and ours is not unlike that. I mean, ours grows over there. I can't go over there and say, well, is there pesticide runoff in your crop, you know? So I do rely on a certification in this point because I know that the certification requires the manufacturers to say, is our product only 95% organic? Or is it like our cotton is? Is it actually 100% organic and 100% cotton? Because the law technically says you can say it's organic cotton even if it's just the majority cotton. So it could be 49% rayon or something else. So I like that the GOTS is clear. I like that I can talk to my suppliers and I can specifically ask them questions. And if I wanted to, I could actually trace where the cotton came from, what farm it was growing on. It's that thorough of a standard that it matches every bolt of fabric up with its grower.
I'm looking at your fabrics, and the one of the important parts of reasons why it's necessary for you to exist as a bedding supply place is that here you've got organic cotton percale fabric that is 97 inches wide.
Yes.
And first of all, you're not going to go into any fabric store that I know of and find any GOTS organic fiber. But secondly, even if you found GOTS organic fiber, and the only other place I know of where people can order GOTS fibers to do things themselves with it is from France. So here you are in America, and you've got GOTS organic fibers, and it's 97 inches wide, which is what you need in order to make a mattress. So you've really, I mean, I can't imagine putting together a better collection of materials to make a bed out of. You've done a really good job.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we try to be very careful about, like you said, about sourcing it and just provide people with choices that we'd want to make ourselves.
So earlier you were talking about, at the beginning of the show, you were talking about price, that the price ends up being less than if you were to buy a mattress. And, of course, when you're purchasing a mattress that somebody else has made, you're paying for labor. Whereas when you make it yourself, then you put in the cost of labor is your time. But also I think it's most important for a lot of people listening, not so much how much it costs, although I'm sure a lot of people are on a budget and want to get the most affordable mattress they can. But the most important thing is to have these fantastic materials that are so organic and not toxic. So I forgot what I was going to ask. So does it end up, I guess the point I want to make is that people think that organic and certified and all those things are much more expensive. If you're going this route of doing it yourself, does the mattress, buying all the mattress pieces and putting them together, does it end up costing more or less than, say, an average toxic mattress?
Well, I would say it definitely costs less. The DIY component is pretty big. It saves us a lot of costs, but we pass on the savings to the customer. So, yeah, there's a lot. If you went out and bought, let's say, a king-size natural latex mattress. Let's say it was just a 9-inch mattress. It would be surprising for you to pay $2,500 for that. Use our parts, make your own, and you're probably looking more at, like, depending on your choices, of course, $1,500, $1,700. So that's at least a 30% savings there.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's rewarding. I don't think people can put a monetary value on the value of participating in your choices. I mean, you've spent time, you've spent energy. If you found us, you have invested yourself into this purchase. And then to actually assemble it, I mean, that is rewarding to say, I am sleeping on something that I have chosen.
I know. My husband and I, many years ago, we made shaker chairs for our dining room table out of a kit, and we wove the seats together. And And it just is so, even to this day, I look at those chairs and I remember the experience of making them when I sit on them and the love that goes in it. And it's so different to have that, to something that you've made with your own hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could just now imagine a couple making a mattress for themselves and how beautiful that would be. Gee, this is so lovely.
Yeah, it's good to take your own space into your will.
Yeah, yeah. What a lovely thing that you're doing. We only just have about a minute left, so is there anything you'd like to say that we haven't covered?
Well, I don't know. you know, we are a small business, and that means that while we may not have certain systems in place that a large business might have, you know, we do have a lot of personality here. So you call, you will talk to me. You email, you will get me. We have showrooms that we set up in people's homes. I have one in Minneapolis and one here in West Lafayette, Indiana. And you come and you get to talk to us, and we will answer any question we can. If we can't, we will find you the answer. So that is one of the benefits of being a small business, is that we aren't so far distance from you, that we're still people too, and we can work with you.
And you know the answers. I mean, one of the things that happens today is that you go into a big box store and you've got people who are cashiers and they know nothing about the product. And dealing with a business like you, you're an expert. You absolutely know your product and everything that goes in it, all the way down to the sheep. Anyway, thank you so much, Deborah, for being on the show. And again, the website is DIY Natural Bedding. It's DIYNaturalBedding.com. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. And you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com to learn more about other shows. Listen to this one again. Read a transcript. And that's it for today. Be well.